Welcome aboard. This is your host, your pilot, Roger Muntu, a.k.a. DJ RM. I want to welcome everybody tonight to the RM show. Let's take off with some great music tonight. And, of course, I have a special guest tonight. You don't want to miss this. This is a guest from Ecodec in Canada. Yes, Ecodec is a Canadian musical group based in Guelph, Ontario, known for the fusion of world music and electronic music style. You know, they do a great mixing of music. You don't want to miss this. The band is composed, you know, of like amazing member, core member, and he's the one that's going to be with us, Andrew McPherson, who's going to be my guest. Andrew's going to be my guest straight from Ontario, Canada. Don't go anywhere. We're about to take off now. Listening to the RM show at VOA Africa. This is your pilot, Roger Moon. Two composition here from Andrew McPherson and a rotating collective of musicians who collaborates on the band release and different releases that they do. This one is, of course, one of the best Ecodec album. We will be talking about it with my host tonight. Andrew McPherson will join me soon. Don't go anywhere. First, let's take off.
Let's go.
Stay tuned every Wednesday and Friday at 9 p.m. UTC time with your pilot, Roger Moon, to listen to the RM Show, where you can respond to our question of the week, get some entertainment news, and enjoy some great music. It's all happening at VOA Africa. God bless. Peace, Africa.
Always. But first, let's move on with my colleague, Nikki Strong, who never let us down. Now, where's Nikki Strong?
So what's going on with Nikki Strong? Kendall Jenner of Keeping Up with the Kardashians is rumored to be dating Bad Bunny, especially since the two were allegedly spotted kissing in a nightclub. The big rock on Adele's finger this past weekend has reignited rumors that she and her boyfriend, Rich Paul, are engaged and are allegedly planning a summer wedding this year. If so, congrats. J-Hope of BTS will be the second member following Jin to enlist in Korea's mandatory 18-month military service. His management team, Big Hit Music, also announced that J-Hope will soon release a new single called On the Street, March 3rd. That's what's going on.
That's what's going on with Nikki Strong. What's going on in the RM Show? Andrew McPherson will be with me straight from Canada. But first, one of the songs in the album, Ecodec, Recalibrate. And we are listening right now, Kiran, who's singing this great song, Kiran Hawalia.
RM Show on social media, but also on TV and radio. This is Roger Muntui, the host, and my guest today is Andrew from Ecodec. I want to thank Andrew for joining us today to kind of have a little talk about what he does and know a little bit about himself. Andrew, I want to thank you so much for the time that you are giving us today. I know it's been a pain trying to get hold of you, superstar.
Well, we only have hamsters inside our computers in Canada, so, you know, if they're not up for the job, there's nothing I can do. It's on their terms.
Nothing you can do. You just got me the little intro there. You are Canadian of origin, and you work as a musician, as an artist. You have over 20 years experience in the industry. And tell us a little bit of our viewers and people listening to us, Andrew. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me again, brother. This has just been fantastic. And yeah, it was a hill to climb to get to this point, but we're here.
We're here. That's the most important
thing. The internet is not dying.
Exactly.
I grew up in a musical family. My mother is super musical. My father's a music lover, not so much a player. My brother was an awesome club DJ in Toronto in the 80s and 90s. My sister is a choral singer, so she sings in choirs and home was a really musical environment. And I mean, it could be J.S. Bach and Beethoven, or it could be Pink Floyd. It could be Sly and the Family Stone, you know, like we got it all. And so when I got to the university level, I decided I wanted to pursue music as a vocation. So I studied music at University of Western in London, Ontario, and flute was my major instrument. And it was a full-on classical program. So yeah, I worked very, very hard at being an instrumentalist, and then realized I'd never make a dime sitting in an orchestral chair as a player. And just loved pop music and rock music, and you know, and I love contemporary music so much that to me that was sort of, I got all the tools and then I got to throw them out once I'd learned them. And then after university, I decided to, because I was really fascinated with the recording process, and so I went to a college in the same town that offered an amazing recording arts program. So I did a year there and learned a whole bunch about audio production and mixing and producing and working with artists. And that was sort of like mid-20s. And then it was like, okay, man, go find a job.
Wow. And you did. And you really found a job that really helped you travel the world or work with different artists, you know, all from all over the world. And I'm glad the way you, putting it for us and the way you, going back even from your family and how everybody was involved somehow, with music. And from what I understand is a little mix of a different genre of music. And that takes me to my next question to you. Would you say that that's what made you, you know, be also open to so many genres of music?
100%, you know, as much as sort of classical music was really sort of the seeds of my childhood, that was really because of my mother. She's a pianist and plays pipe organ, so that's where all that was coming from. But what I could hear, you know, as I started to be exposed to like composers, and then I discovered like contemporary composers, like modern classical music, which is so weird and so awesome, and so much more colorful in terms of the sonic potential of the orchestra. I think it just all fed into this incredible dietary lust for not only different ways of approaching composition and instruments, but also like texture. And so, I mean, I have a deep love of ambient music, and which is my Peppermoth project. Mm-hmm. And that really is as much informed by, you know, people like Brian Eno and Harold Budd and Daniel Lanois as it is like Eric Satie and Claude Debussy, you know? Like, I completely hear those worlds always mingling. So, you know, something like Echo Deck, when I started to discover cultural music, and I use that in the worst, broadest sense that you can, because we're still trying to figure out what to call world music, of course. Jesus, seriously? you know, that to me was just an extension of all of that curiosity about, you know, just different forms and different types of music. It was like, wow. So Pakistani music is a little bit different than Indian music, which is different than Persian music, which is, you know, and it just, the borders just kept getting further and further out, the fence line of my curiosity. So yes, you are completely right. All of that early kind of staging of, well, maybe you'd like this weird record.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it totally laid the seeds for, yeah, just an endless appetite for, for beauty. And if it's beautiful, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And talking about beautiful, Andrew, I'm 52, man, and my music is the 80s, man. And when I hear your music, you take me back, bro. I'm serious, man. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. When I listen to your songs, you tune, I'm like, oh, God, this guy is taking me way back, would you say that the 80s was a big influence also in your style of music?
Heavily. So this is kind of funny because I keep reading all these studies about, you know, the music you listen to in your early 20s sets the
tone, pretty much
the frame, going forward. So I was completely, you know, I'm 59, I'm gonna be 60 in 2 days.
And dude, you look 40. I look way older than that. Maybe because you have hair and I don't. Maybe that's
I put the make me look 40 filter on. So yeah, like when I was coming into my own as a young adult, it was, you know, the first Culture Club records, Pig Bag, Rip Reagan Panic, you know, The Clash, and then I discovered all the Jamaican music that was coming into the UK because I was so tapped into the UK. And, yeah, like I still love Duran Duran records. Those early Duran records.
Of course. I mean, who doesn't?
They're fantastic.
Who doesn't, man?
You know, it's a great song, great performances, a great band, it's a great concept. I love the whole thing, you know?
Exactly.
So I have no shame about that, you know, period of my listening.
Right.
But I also, you know, that's when I heard the first records from Real World. You know, the World of Music and Dance, the WOMAD, the first compilation that Gabriel put out. You know, it's got Yuzu and Dur on it. It's like the master drummers of Jujuka. It's just like, holy smokes. I had no idea that this was all out there as well. And, you know, I discovered Afrobeat and, you know, the Kooties, like all the brothers and, you know, just it kind of kept reseeding the land,
right?
All of that. So, the 80s for sure.
I mean,
I love all that processing and like those crappy drum machine sounds. Like, man, give me that stuff.
Now that would also take, because you know, and I'm glad you're mentioning the legends. You know, Bob Marley, Yuzu and Dur, any of those things.
LKJ and the Dub Poets. Oh my god!
But then, love that stuff. Then I go, and you already responded like at least half of my one of the questions I was going to ask, because I was like, what is this kid born in Canada knows about Yuzu and Dur, knows about Indian music, knows about? I was like, dude, I was so impressed and looking at your bio, and I'm like, whoa, you. And that's the reason why I'm saying, and those who are listening to us from social media or on TV, whatever, you'll understand that we will have episode with this man, because there's no way I can have a whole full interview with Andrew. No, we call them episode or something with Andrew.
Hilarious.
So, then the question is, and you just answered part of it, you start discovering all these artists. But you went way out. You're like Indian, Pakistan, Africa, or Mali, you know, all these places.
Yeah.
What did you see that really kind of attracted you to pay attention to more of this music? What was it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good question. I think the simple answer was, well, the grooves are incredible from all those traditions, you know. Like I try to find, you know, follow tabla players and the forms. It's like, I have no idea what these guys are. I don't know what the forms are, but I know that it's incredible and the intricacy and it sounds very intentional. And
right. Very, right.
Like it's a discipline. I get that these players they've studied in such great depth. And yet I'm listening with that sort of naivete of somebody who didn't grow up in, you know, Yoruban culture or Pakistani culture, you know, but I'm so drawn to those grooves and rhythms. And then just the voices, you know, the first time I heard Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, I thought, I don't even know what I'm hearing. I don't know what this is, but it is jaw-droppingly beautiful to me.
Right.
And technically mind-blowing because, you know, being a classical guy, you know, I worked really hard at technique.
Right. Exactly.
It's one of the things we had to bring as far as our education.
Right.
So I could hear the complexity and the sheer jaw-dropping skill that they had, but really it was just, the way they would shape melodies that were so not Western traditional melodic, you know, intervals and the approach to form. It just, again, it was just like, well, if there's that, then what do, you know, people from Constantinople sound like? You know, like, I should probably check that out too, you know, and I guess, you know, because Peter Gabriel was such a huge conduit for me, you know, and I know he's a spokesperson in that way and such a cultural maverick in that regard. I just trusted him. I just trusted everything that was coming out on that label. I'd see the spine, the Real World Records, you know, colored spine, he's got it. The colors match the continents.
Yeah.
And I just say, oh, that's another Real World record. Okay. Right. I have no idea what this is. I'm going to buy it anyway and just check this out. And yeah, so it really was compelling to me. And again, just sort of, it just seemed to point me further and further down the road each time. I would say that and I guess, you know, I think the next thing that really happened was sort of what preceded the first Echo Deck record. So the first album is called More Africa in Us. And how that album even began was because I befriended a guy who was a Rwandan refugee.
That was in Canada.
That's right. He had come to Guelph, of all places, which is where I am, you know, just west of Toronto an hour. And he'd settled here and was working at the radio station, campus radio station.
Right.
I went up there one day to deliver a solo album, and I got chatting with this guy. And super nice guy, Ignis Nichuwamaboko, if I get that right. And he was looking to make a record and found out I had a studio. And so we ended up working on his album, which was kind of like, yeah, it was like this weird hybrid of Western jazz.
Yeah.
And like full on, Kirindis, I'll get it wrong, but, Rwandan music, his particular, he's not Tutsi. Anyway, this is a long time ago, man, so forgive me if I get the details a little wrong.
No, it's okay. If he's not Tutsi, he's by the Utu then.
Yeah. And so I'm listening to these songs that we're recording, and he's like, okay, I have to put another guitar part down. I'm like, Ignis, like, there's five parts already.
So was it, he was also playing instrument as well?
Yeah, he was an instrumentalist, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he was really into jazz, so he was like, play everything super fast. But he was really good. And, you know, it was like a classic moment, Roger, where he's like, yeah, I just have to put two more guitar parts down. And I'm thinking, there's already six tracks. Like, how many more parts can there be?
Exactly.
And he said, just trust me. He said, it'll all line up. You'll hear it.
Yeah.
It'll all stack up.
Yeah.
And like, sure enough, we get the sixth track in the can. I'm like, oh, I totally get it. Wow. This is so cool.
Yeah.
So we finished his thing. And then we were doing a bit of an exchange, and I said, listen, man, there's this one track, Bodhicitta Dub. That's what it became for me. I said, can I just take a chunk of the vocal and I want to try this idea out? And this was the beginning of the Echo Deck World Fusion concept.
That was the beginning.
Dub, electronic, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of ambient. And I had this wicked drum groove from another session. Another buddy of mine played me this awesome pocket. And so I literally just, I screwed around with the sampler for a couple days and was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Sounds like, this is so good. I played it for a few friends and dude, what
they like
is this?
It. Yeah.
This is amazing.
Right.
And so I just kind of went from there.
Stay tuned every Wednesday and Friday at 9 p.m. UTC time with your pilot, Roger Moon, to listen to the RM Show, where you can respond to our question of the week, get some entertainment news, and enjoy some great music. It's all happening at VOA Africa. God bless. Be South Franco.
Don't touch it, it's gonna burn you. Don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it, it's gonna burn you.